Back in 1848, when they found gold at Sutter's Fort in California, dreamers packed up their things, hopped on the trails, and headed west. I'm Jabalani Lafall, and on today's Central Standard, our guests say we're in the middle of a modern-day gold rush for glittering mobile apps. And believe it or not, KC is home to one of the highest densities of mobile app makers per square mile. So on today's edition of Appy Hour, learn about fundraising on your smartphone. A developer wants to make it easy to donate funds across the world. That plus even the most devoted music lovers might take a photo, video, or even text during a live performance. Find out about an app that makes the smartphone part of the live music experience. Explore each of these tech innovations with Central Standard Appy Hour after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. Mobile apps are the quirky, smarmy, witty retort to the eternal question facing technology companies in the modern world. The question probably went something like this. Who in the world is going to want to type a URL address into a mobile phone? This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani Lafall. Whether you know it or not, KC is the place to be for app creation and development, and we've invited more app makers to talk about their apps and their place in the overall scope of technology entrepreneurship in the region, a region being called the Silicon Prairie. Welcome to Appy Hour, where we profile local innovators. Today's guest is Steven Rivera, CEO of AMPT. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me here. I think smarmy and quirky also describes me, which is interesting.
Only smarmy and quirky guests are allowed
to
grace these microphones here. Why is KC a great place for app developers?
I think you've got a lot of things here. You have some technological companies here with Sprint, especially sort of a tradition. I think the infrastructure that Google's bringing in is helping. I also think that in general, it's just an entrepreneurial place, and it always has been with the legacy left by Ewing Kaufman. I think with all of those things put together, we've learned that we can actually create businesses here that will thrive, and people are used to doing it and used to seeing them be built up and succeed. And that's really the way Kansas City seems to work.
And there's a nascent and emergent startup culture here as well with an initiative recently announced called Launch KC. Tell us a bit about that.
I can tell you a little bit from my experience. A couple months ago, they had basically a showcase of entrepreneurs where they had, I think, 12 companies present in front of a group of local interested parties, other entrepreneurs, venture capitalists, tech pioneers in town, and people who run different businesses and incubators to help companies like ours. And we basically had a few minutes, a short time, to present what our business was, how it works. And I was really blown away by the sheer variety of the different kind of companies that were here that got on that list to present. It was fascinating.
And you presented your pitch and your sort of elevator speech of what AMPT is. So why don't you do that here? Billboard has named your app one of the top five apps that's changing music. Tell us about AMPT, how it came about.
Well, I was at a show, and I was on the second row. We were all standing up against the stage, and the guy in front of me held up his phone and not only blocked my view, but then he watched the entire show through his phone. And at that point, I realized that phones were literally becoming in between people and the show. They were becoming a barrier to the performance and the experience for the person in the audience. So they were literally in between the audience member and the artist. And so I thought, well, there has to be a way, as mobile phones have done in our personal experiences of enhancing our relationships and making us more connected with our friends, is there a way that the app could do that for an audience member and a person up on stage, the artist? And so I thought, well, you know, one of the first things I'd like to do is be able to tweet out what the set list is as the artist is playing. So I put that on a list. I want to put it, you know, Facebook as well. You're missing a great show in Kansas City. Here are the next three tour stops that this band's gonna go to. And as commercial radio lessons in its importance of in a role of music discovery for people. Their friends and their networks have filled that gap, and so sharing became a big part of what I wanted the app to do. As well, I thought, is it a way for the audience to respond and make their needs known to the artist, so that you could vote on what song the artist would play for the encore, and also make requests in certain respects when an artist is able to vary their show, which are always the most dynamic and interesting shows to see, to allow people to do that too. So it was really from me as a music fan at a show, what would I want to do to enhance the experience and really connect better with the artist.
And this is also a way to get around the old fogey argument. If I'm at a live venue, why would I want to play with my phone? That's my old fogey.
That's good. It's excellent. Well, and in, you know, you can say it'd be great if nobody used their phone at a show.
But they do.
But they do, and they will. And it's something they want to share because there's such passion around it.
Matter of fact, I was going to ask you, are phones – mobile phones and smartphones with more capabilities, are they the new lighters to be used by audience members during a power ballad or something like that?
Absolutely.
I understand that with your app, an artist on stage can actually turn the colors in the crowd red or blue depending on what song is playing if the audience members are loaded into your app at
exactly.
that time.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
What we've seen is if the artist from the stage will say, all right, get out your app, and hopefully they've downloaded it ahead of time, and if not, they could download it at the venue. But ideally, they would have had contact with the artist and downloaded the app ahead of time. But they say, all right, now during this song, put it in lighter mode, which is just a button on the thing, and it changes colors as you wave it back and forth, and it can change, the animation can change with each song or even within a song. So the chorus, all the phones could change one color, and it could change back during the verse or whatever, and change the actual animation. So the idea is that it replaces the lighter, which you may or may not be able to bring into a venue anymore. You certainly can't use it too much in there except to hold it up over a show. But if you hold it up over your head, but if you've got your phone, you can put it in lighter mode and no flame, no danger. And you can take it aboard an airplane if you really want to.
Lighter mode, no flame, no danger. That's the message here from Steven Rivera, CEO of Amped. We're talking about his new app, Amped. How does being part of the Apple app community help your cause or further along your cause?
Well, it's great. I mean, you know, at least the people that I've met here in Kansas City who are app creators and who do that for a living, it's a dynamic group, and it's an artistic group, and it's people who have recognized a need in the market and created. And as far as Apple goes, what's a little tough is getting lost in the crowd. Then that goes for Apple and Android. But there are so many apps out there, and so few of them actually generate enough money for somebody to live on that it can be difficult. But the key is to figure out a way to get your app in the hands of the people who would be most benefit from it.
So you are on both platforms, Apple
yes.
and Android?
Yes. Yeah, it works for both.
Does the record-breaking pre-sales for the iPhone 5, does that encourage you? Are you trying to jump on that bandwagon a little bit?
You know, we're happy when anybody buys a smartphone. So right now those numbers are sitting around 60%. Maybe they'd be up with the pre-sales of the new iPhone. But, I want that number to go up because that's more potential people who could use the app and benefit from it and more people the artists can interact with.
Speaking of getting on the bandwagon and sales, how does Amped make its money? You talk about being lost in a sea of apps where a lot of them are free, a lot of them are at low cost, a lot of them are sort of this one-off or faddish sort of thing. How do you plan to monetize?
One of the aspects of the app that you can – one of the functions that it does, it allows you to – the artist to sell merchandise on it, merchandise that's then shipped to you later so you don't have to wait in line. The artist doesn't have to carry a huge variety of merchandise to the venue. And also it's possible for them to avoid paying a percentage of the sales of merchandise, which some artists pay up to 30% of their merch sales at a show to the venue. That's a pretty hefty fee to have to pay. And that's the venue gets paid for setting up space, giving them the, you know, area to sell it and those sort of things, and sometimes even people to sell it. So what what we hope to do is help them offer more variety on the app. They buy merchandise through it, and we take less. We take, I mean, it can be up to 30% that the venue takes. We take 15% at this point of merchandise sales. And some of the things that we can sell on there would be unique items, posters and things that you wouldn't want to carry around at a music festival or at a concert and somebody would spill something on it, as well as unique items for the actual show. So the set list and the location and the venue and the date on the back of the T-shirt of what they played that night, we can get those turned around and shipped out within a day to where you'd receive them within a few days after the show.
Beyond the mobile commerce component, is there any other revenue stream that you guys have considered?
Yeah, sponsorships. It would be an easy way for it's an easy way for a company who wants to dip their toe in the water of sponsoring live music to be able to get in a small way or a large way, depending on how much they want it, how visible they want it to be on the site. So, and we can put localized ads as well in the feed, which is sort of the area that tells you what song the artist is playing, where you can vote trivia questions and things like that in the app.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. It's Appy Hour, folks. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall, and we're serving up a conversation about innovations in mobile apps in the KC metro area, as we do each Appy Hour. Our guest is Steven Rivera, co-founder of Amped, which is a live music venue app, a pretty nifty venue app that allows you to do many things, including mobile commerce capabilities to get merchandising from your favorite bands. Kansas City, would you download this app? This is a live venue town, so we're going to ask you, would you download this app or apps like it to help enhance your live music experience? We also want you to chime in on why you think KC is the place to be for the next wave of technological innovation. Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. And we're following tweets at our Twitter address or handle, as they say in tech parlance, at KCURCST. Once again, the number is 816-235-2888. Why do you think KC is a great place for the next wave of technological innovation? While we poke that question out to callers, you've done some original shows. You've worked directly with some artists already. Mm-hmm. You've worked with The Grizzly Hand, who coincidentally has been a guest on this show. Tell us about that experience working with the band.
It was great. We did there was a show called Merle Jam, which was a benefit out at Knuckleheads. And The Grizzly Hand played there, as well as Chuck Mead. And Maria the Mexican played there as well. And it was interesting because we had a lot of very different bands that day who played all afternoon and evening. And so we got to do the app for multiple artists. And it's great because I think, you know, even just putting the set list up, if it's a local artist that, and you're there to maybe see one of the other bands and you start liking a band that you're hearing, you discovered a new band, find out what the name of the song is, what album it's on, you can buy it right there on the app as well. That is one of the other things that I wanted to do with the app, because I've been to shows where you're listening to an opening band and they don't even tell you, they're not even announced or introduced until the main act comes up. I don't want to have to go kind of hunt around the merch table to see who looks like somebody I saw on stage. I want to know right then. And so you can pop it up right then and share it out to your networks as well. So it was great. And local artists is sort of where we're starting and, you know, where we're trying to build up our reputation. And it's been a lot of fun.
So it sounds to me like perhaps part of the MO going forward will be to work with venue promoters or work with people behind the shows, whether they be the artist or independent promoters or whoever,
management to find
out who is on the bill, period, to provide a full sort of comprehensive running commentary or color.
Absolutely.
On the show.
Absolutely.
Is that what it is?
It's not just one performance. It's the whole evening of entertainment. And, you know, as you've got time in between acts, there's that downtime is time that where our app can fill in and give them opportunities to, buy merchandise, but also interact with the artist as well.
What were some of the reactions of some of these bands? They're usually a lot of them are usually strictly into playing music, strictly into the work. Don't want to deal with a lot of the extra stuff. What was the reaction?
Well, I can the best reaction we got was from Chuck Mead, who he comes from Lower Broadway and in Nashville, and where they made their reputation by being able to play requests, the whole band. Somebody barks out a request, a Hank Williams song, and they can play it, lots of them in a row. And so what he liked about it was, instead of having somebody yell out at the stage, here comes sort of an ordered way to give them requests, as well as when it was interesting that night, I said, you know, what songs do you want me to put on the list for people to vote on for the encore? And he goes, oh, just give me some good suggestions. So the band could pretty much play anything. So I put a lot of different choices on there and a lot of things I think that surprised them. And then they ended up voting for a fun song. So it turned out great.
We're on Central Standard with a person who has possibly institutionalized the way phones are used as lighters at concert venues. We got Steven Rivera, the co-founder of Amped, a live music venue app. We've been asking our audience members as we get along in this show, would you download this app? And also, we'd like you to chime in on why you think KC is the place for the next wave of technological innovation. Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We're going to go to Jeff in Leavenworth. Jeff, welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome. Go ahead, Jeff.
All right, well, I had a thought about the app. When you were talking about the lighters, and I would think you could maybe design the program to make an image. If you had enough of the phones in the audience up, maybe you could make an image that encompasses all of the phones, and like from maybe the stage vantage point, you see the image, and it'd be a great, you know, shot for music videos or whatever.
Is that a capability with the app, or could it be?
You know,
Thank you, Jeff.
I don't think it's a great idea, and it's one actually that we had pondered before, because it'd be the equivalent, you know, the high tech equivalent of everybody in the audience holding up cards at a stadium and making one large image, so every person becomes kind of a pixel in the image. I think that would be ideal. The question is right now with technology is phones may know how close you are to each other, but they don't know exactly what direction you are away from them. So they know proximity. They don't know location just yet. Not in that detailed of a way.
There's no geofencing capability for color, in other words, that you can harness with this.
Not yet. Isn't that we've incorporated yet. But that is certainly something that, you know, some of the things you could do as venues start putting in when you're seated, QR codes on each seat, you could do it that way. And it would know where you were sitting and what color your phone should be. So, yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Jordan in Overland Park, welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing well. Yo, I'm 18 years old, and I'm listening to your show, and I'm hearing this guy's idea about the app, and it was probably the coolest idea I've ever heard, because I was just at a Skrillex concert, which is like dubstep, electronic music,
Yep. And
he had two opening acts, and I still have no idea who they were, but they were like awesome, and if I had his app, I would have known who they were, and I would have been listening to them right now. So I will definitely be downloading your app, that's for sure.
Well, thank you, Jordan, for joining the conversation. And now we have bragging rights on Central Standard that 18-year-olds who listen to dubstep also listen to Central Standard.
So, did you know you had that demographic?
Boom. Thank you, Jordan. Yo, indeed.
That's great.
Yo, indeed. And he says he would use that app. We're on with the CEO of Amped, a live music venue app. Our last caller, Jordan, just went to a concert and said he missed the details at the show and could have used that app. Now, let's skip gears for a second. You're somewhat of a serial entrepreneur. You had two previous companies, Slugworth and Blair Lake. Tell us about bouncing from project to project and how that informed both your life and both your approach to entrepreneurship.
Well, you know, I've sort of always looked at opportunities and all these companies I've based in Kansas City. I grew up in Kansas City. I'm raising my family here. I'll stay here forever, I'm sure. And, you know, I think the constant has been what can I do from Kansas City that can still have an impact and create a lasting business that has value for employees and for potential investors as well. And part of it is, and as the infrastructure changes and as the city changes, it becomes easier and easier. The barriers of entry become lower and lower for you to start your own new business. When we started Blair Lake, which was a web design company a long time ago, is the first company in Kansas City that strictly did web design. It was easy to say we are a web designer. It's low barrier of entry because all you had to do is be able to have someone in your company who could make HTML and someone with marketing skills. So those barriers of entry were fairly low. Now, building it from there was the hard part, of course. We've got a great community here of large businesses who use local vendors for projects. So, like, you know, we worked for Lee Jeans, and they hired local companies to do their web design. And I think that sort of spirit of trying to help the smaller businesses from the larger businesses in town helps create some continuity. It's like, well, once we sold Blair Lake, I went on to consulting and different, always in technology and creative services. With the new project, it's trying to be creative within the realm of technology as well as in this great city that's been so supportive.
So how do you evolve from web design and web-based consulting to apps? How do you get into mobile apps? How did you get into mobile apps?
To me, it was looking at the phone just as another medium to deliver an experience to somebody. So whether you're marketing a company via the web or whether you're presenting information about a band and helping you interact with a band, to me it's just bringing someone, providing a service to someone needing the service, bring them together through technology. So for me, it wasn't that big of a leap. It didn't seem that different from what I've done in the past. So
is it fair to say, based on what you just said, that the mobile app business is sort of in its infancy stage and kind of an appendage to web and other online commerce, or is it its own distribution channel now?
I think, well, as web traffic from phones doubles every year, and so I think it's beyond an appendage. It's now, I think everyone who wants to create an online presence better be thinking about mobile. I think that you've got to be thinking about mobile first, because that's the way people are going to be using the web.
We're on with the co-founder of Amped, a live music venue app, part of the larger community of app developers here in KC, which is an epicenter for app development and design around the country. In case you haven't heard, Aaron in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to Central Standard, Aaron.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, just a quick comment about the app. Obviously, things that are very important with these concepts and everything is, you know, people are sharing on Facebook, sharing on Twitter. What about some of these apps with capabilities to possibly enhance the show? We've seen a lot with augmented reality stuff. Do you see that carrying forward with some of the concert venues? Again, I know they talked about, from an audience point of view, having some sort of thing displaying on the phone itself. But what about something on stage where the user holds the phone up to the stage and there's an augmented reality piece that comes with that?
All right. Great question from Aaron. Can you use your mobile app or mobile technology to create a Beethoven-Tupac collabo on stage?
You certainly could. You sure could. And I think, you know, some of the capabilities that we've talked about, and right, you know, we've got a list of things we'd like to add. But one of the things that someone suggested is being able to point your phone at the stage and the camera pops up on there and it highlights who each member of the band is. And you can click on them and see their bio and what other bands they've been in. And so the amount of data that you could link to it is limitless. It's limited only by what's out there on the internet as it is. But I think an augmented, even from the standpoint of a venue, where's the closest bathroom? You know, anything to make the experience better by turning around and looking at your phone. And pointing out which direction you need to go or what and different things on the stage could really change the experience completely from an experience where you're just passively watching to one where you're actively involved and getting more information about what's going on up there, I think is really one of the most exciting things that's happening in mobile technology.
Adding a feature perhaps where somebody could check the amount of people in line for the porta potty.
Right, exactly.
Which one has the shortest line. Now. Right. Any strategies and tips for a small business looking at social media and apps to spread a message or develop a business?
I think the key is just make sure before you even start, you have a plan to get your app out in the market and get people hearing about it and talking about it and get some buzz going about it. And, you know, I think the way we're relying on artists to market it for us, as if they see a benefit for it, that's the kind of artists that we want to work with, who will actively reach out to their audience members and push the app to them so that it can be useful for everybody.
This is off topic, but since you're in the app development business, we have an email from Lee, not directly on topic. She says, several of my female friends would like a mirror app. When searching for it, a camera app is offered. We're looking for a mirror that would allow us to touch up makeup, not check whether we've got spinach in our teeth after a meal. Is a mirror app a possibility? An actual mirror app. Is that possible?
So she's distinguishing a mirror app from one that just simply turns on the camera that points at
right,
you.
Right. An actual mirror app with a clearer resolution.
I don't know, because usually the cameras that point at you are lower resolution than the ones that point out the back. So maybe just making a better resolution camera on the front's the solution there.
Live venue mirrors for people who want to maybe not go to the bathroom and check themselves in the mirror while they're at the show.
Can I borrow your pen? I need to write that down.
Right. And I will also be looking for my points and royalties on that as well.
Duly noted.
Speaking of unrelated stuff and the life app, so to speak, you wrote a novel called Raw. What's that about? It's not about Eddie Murphy's live venue, is it?
No, it's not Eddie Murphy. No, it actually gets its name from the raw milk industry.
Wow.
Which is an underground dairy place heavily in my book, which is about a guy who moves from Manhattan, New York to Manhattan, Kansas to simplify his life.
Right. And literally you have the seedy underbelly.
Exactly. Yes.
Literally.
Yes.
Raw milk. What's next for you? Are you looking at other venues or other ventures that go beyond Amped? Do you have expansion plans for Amped?
Once we really get a foothold in music, we feel like sports has a lot of potential for us. That audience has a slightly different set of needs than the music audience does. And it's a little less of an intimate experience, but maybe there's a way we can bridge that gap.
Sporting Innovations over at Sporting KC, we've had them on the show very
often. It's a great group.
Often, and they're a leader in that type of
absolutely
live sporting event app sort of thing. So this is the place for it.
That's a great resource here. I mean, yeah, this sports, you know, not just that, but architecture and all those things too. It's a great place to be.
Our guest is Steven Rivera, CEO of the live music venue app Amped. Thank you for coming.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And we're going to take a quick break. When we return, more on app innovations in the Silicon Prairie. Dale Knoop, founder of Raise Mobile, stops by to talk about charitable giving over mobile phones. It allows you to give and phone it in the process. Kansas City is the place to be for the next wave of technological innovation. Kansas City, is it the place to be? We're taking email at centralstandard@kcur.org and following tweets at our Twitter feed at KCURCST. Facebook is also an option. The number is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. For the last few years, Kansas City has emerged as the epicenter for design for mobile applications, or apps as they are known. And also in the past few years, whether you know it or not, Kansas City has been designated as one of the top cities for charitable giving in our country. And our guest put those things together and started working the phones. Our Appy Hour continues with the next guest we have, Dale Knoop. He's the founder of Raise Mobile. Welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you very much for having me.
Raise Mobile. What gave you that idea? Tell us about that.
As part of a startup that I was involved with about 3 years ago, we visited a church in Olathe, a church large enough to have an IT director. And we sat down with him, and he said, I would love it if your application could take donations during the service. And churches that I go to typically don't tell people to take their cell phones out during the service. And so we were kind of taken aback, and we asked him, so you process credit cards? And he goes, yes. And I said, so what would people donate? And he said, $200, $300, $500. And I go, at a time? And he goes, yeah. He goes, we have very motivated supporters. And the presider over the services is going to make them, you know, kind of really urge them to do this. So we tucked that away as an idea. The startup that I was involved with put some things together. But we built Raise Mobile to be a seamless integration of mobile into things that people are doing today from a fundraising perspective. And we're able to support those kinds of transactions now. So if anybody wants to tell people at church to take their phones out, they can make donations through Raise Mobile.
So it grew out of that.
When you came
out of the church, were you like, hallelujah, we got this idea?
Yeah, I kind of looked up at the sky and I go, wow, that's a great idea. So I tucked it away and built Raise Mobile.
Did a beam of light come down?
I don't recall. I think I was maybe 6 inches off the ground when I heard that idea. So that was my elevation.
You said in the other interviews and in literature about your company that you found in your research in beginning Raise Mobile that the donation business is bigger or just as big as fast food and gambling in this country. Talk about that.
Yeah, it was something that was really amazing to me when I was working with our co-founder, Brad Kropp. He presented to me a PowerPoint presentation that said individual giving in the United States is 2% of GDP. And 80% of that goes through direct mail. And so I said, well, you know, how big is 2% of GDP? So I went to, you know, Google and looked at what the gambling business is in the United States and what the quick service restaurant business is. And yes, individual donations to charities is larger than those two businesses by a wide margin. But the problem that they face, that the charities face, is that this direct mail situation is untenable going into the future, whether it's a demographic problem or a problem orchestrated by the economics of the Postal Service.
Talk about that. As the economics and economies of scale change and shift in the way services are delivered and information is delivered, and direct mail sort of dissipates as a result of that, what's Raise Mobile's lane?
What we would ask people to do is integrate a mobile option into the things they're doing now so that they can begin to transition their donors and expand the reachable donors through what they're doing today to give them the mobile option to give. And direct mail is always going to be around because charities look at it and say it's a this and a this and a this. It's not a this or that. We like to say that they'll do a car wash, a bake sale, a raffle. So they're deploying multiple tactics. We're opening up the mobile channel for them to be able to put in there. Now, yes, you know, direct mail is going to have its problems. They could get rid of the subsidy. There is pending legislation that could get rid of the subsidy, or they could raise postal rates, or they could do both. But looking into the future, the charities that we've spoken to have said, yes, we want to be part of the mobile channel. We want a mobile channel to offer to our supporters. And so many of them have looked at the traditional giving of mobile fundraising, which is what the Red Cross has done, and that's just not something for them.
If you're supplanting direct mail from a digital or mobile or cloud space or whatever channel you'd like to call it, how do you get rid of that annoying throwaway junk mail factor that is prevalent and inherent in direct mail?
Yeah, I think the best way to do it is to just start to respond through mobile. And we've looked at some initiatives actually where donors could buy vouchers and hand to charities and say, I bought you platform access. Please stop loading up my mailbox. Because once you respond to that, they continue to send more. I actually got a response from a charity in town that said, I know you don't like direct mail, so tell me when you want direct mail. And I said, but you just said I don't want it, and you're acknowledging that I don't want it, so now you're asking me when I want it? And
it's a trick question.
Yeah, it was.
I know you don't want it. Tell me where you don't want it.
Exactly, exactly. So Raise Mobile for us was just a thing that we felt compelled, given our background in mobile technology and the patents that me and the co-founder have, that was something that we wanted to deliver to the marketplace.
So are you rerouting, in a sense? You give a customer or a user or a client the ability to reroute the sort of pesky direct mail that comes through, or parse it, or what?
What we would do is ask anybody using Raise Mobile to place a QR code on their direct mail, or put a call to action in there of text this keyword to a phone number to opt into the SMS list. They can also put Raise Mobile into their email lists by saying, click here to visit our mobile site. So again, the seamless integration across a lot of channels. As you know, a majority, it's like 92% of charities are on Facebook, and we give them the ability to promote their Raise Mobile site through Facebook as well. So they're now able to take those followers and turn them into donors. With more than 50% of people on Facebook through their mobile phone, it becomes imperative that you have a mobile experience that they can consume and take action on. And motivated donors can make a donation in a few taps on their smartphone.
I'm glad you mentioned SMS because I have a follow-up question about SMS. First, define for our listeners what SMS is.
Short message service. It's a little bit of a tongue twister.
Yeah, a little bit of a tongue twister.
Same thing as text message. It's what is the predominant communication vehicle for human beings, I guess, with a cell phone.
And speaking of short message service, I'm going to use that as a tongue twister maybe to prepare for some shows or something like that.
Put the name Sally in there.
Yeah, right. Say it really, really, really fast. How is this technology different from the SMS and text charities on the phone that came under scrutiny during Hurricane Katrina and the earthquake in Haiti with the relief efforts there? These were SMS and text charity channels to receive donations as well.
That's correct. It's a carrier build product. So what you can do is text a keyword. So the keyword in the case of Haiti was the word Haiti, and you were texting that to a Red Cross short code. And $10 would be placed on your bill, and then ostensibly you pay your bill, and the money gets handed to the charity. What that solution represents, though, is a solution that people only give when there's a huge disaster where thousands of lives are impacted. From a charity standpoint, we've spoken to a number of charities that will tell you we're not large enough because there is a $500,000 minimum limitation on the amount of money that you raise in a year. You won't find out who the donors are because there's no connection. This is a carrier build solution. The carriers can take up to 50% if you're not a disaster. So if you're trying to raise money to buy wheelchairs or feed kids or fund AIDS clinics in Africa, the carrier's going to take their share off that product.
And by carriers, you're talking AT&T, Sprint.
Correct.
Et cetera.
You could wait up to 120 days for your money to show up. So as far as it being an instantaneous solution and you having an ongoing dialogue with your supporters, which is something that millennials today really feel compelled to have, is an engagement with the causes and a role in the causes rather than just feeling like an ATM. Studies have shown that the number one reason that donors give up after a while is they feel fatigued by the fact that they only get asked for money. And what better place to share your success stories or videos from those people that you're supporting or news or events or polls or anything than having a mobile optimized site that you can share with those people.
And that's sort of the clearinghouse that you offer. What is your relationship to carriers?
We don't have a formal relationship. We'd love to work with them to help them activate the causes that they work with today. Typically what happens with a carrier and the causes is they treat them like a business and just give them a break on their cell phone service and maybe some discounts. But the causes are out there are really suffering through a lot of things that are happening. The transition from the PC audience to the mobile phone. We talked about the Postal Service. We talked about premium SMS either being not for them because they want to engage with their supporters or them just not being large enough to take advantage of that solution. So we'd love to work with a carrier. We'd love to work with a Sprint, obviously, being here in Kansas City or another one.
But not necessarily be locked in.
No, I don't think it makes sense for us to lock in because, again, if you have a business that's 2% of GDP, scale is something that's almost mandatory.
It's Appy Hour, where we profile local tech innovators, particularly in the mobile service and mobile app space. The epicenter for that is here in Kansas City. Whether you know it or not, you're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on kcur.org, which is also streaming live on smartphones, just so you know. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guest is Dale Knoop, founder of Raise Mobile. Kansas City, join the conversation. Is KC the place to be for the next wave of technological innovation? Let us know, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also send an email to centralstandard@kcur.org. We want to hear your entrepreneurial success stories, maybe even some failures. Talk about KC as a place for technological innovation. We got an email, speaking of which, from Sammy, saying Kansas City is the perfect storm for innovation. First, regional laws are sensible here. Second, real estate and labor are cheaper than they are on the coasts, and there are lots of talented people here. And put all those things together, and you got the same formula created in Silicon Valley 35 years ago. They actually call us the Silicon Prairie. Talk a little bit about the community here in Kansas City that allowed you to create Raise Mobile?
I think the Kansas City community is really no different than any of the communities on either coast. I think those coastal communities, whether it's Silicon Valley or New York City and the Boston area, they get way more press about what's going on there. But I think there's a lot of great success stories that are coming out of Kansas City. Kansas Cityans tend not to be people that that want to boast and things like that. So the hype factor isn't there. But we found Kansas City to be an amazing community to meet people that can offer services, whether those are the services that we get for development of our application or marketing services or anything like that. So I think Kansas City is an amazing place to build a business, and all of the things that were pointed out by the lady in the email are absolutely correct. I think Kansas City is a great place to build a business.
Where does Raise Mobile pull its revenue?
We have a simple revenue model, and we charge $29 a month, no contracts, and then 6% of donations raised. So if somebody were to give you a dollar, we take 6%. We don't charge for keywords for your text messaging. We don't charge on a per-message basis. There's no charge for site creation, site hosting, site delivery, any of the promotional tools that we offer. And then one thing that we always like to talk about is we're always going to be there to help our clients. So we're never going to hide behind an IVR and say, press one for Dale, and then you get my voicemail. We're always going to be on the front line with our clients, because raising money for these people is a life and death struggle. When you think about the people that sleep on a sidewalk or don't have any food or need shelter and things like that, the notion that you're going to turn into a big giant business and hide behind an IVR is something that we won't do. So we're very dedicated to service, because our clients, our customers, our causes are is equally dedicated, if not more so, about what they do.
It's good to hear that, because I like to personally hide behind IVR sometimes. Press one. You know, I like to do that.
Oh, yeah, do it yourself. Yeah, fool everybody. That's fool a great everybody. Thing. I'm going to start doing that just as a joke.
So what you're saying is you cater to the institutional side of donation solicitation. So you work with nonprofits or with organizations that are trying to raise money for their causes.
That's correct. That's correct. These guys are out there looking around and saying, well, I talked to this developer and he said it would cost $20,000 to create a mobile site. And I heard that iTunes won't let fundraising applications in the iTunes store. And I did some Google searches on Premium SMS, the carrier build solution, and found out that we don't make enough money. Or even the ones that make enough money have looked at it and said, you mean I don't get to know who these people are? How do I build my base of supporters going into the future not knowing who these people are?
And how do you change that equation?
We get them to text in the keyword that the cause chooses to the phone number that they choose. We get the supporters to respond to direct mails or posters or live events where you can scan a QR code. A lot of these causes have thousands of Facebook followers that can consume the content that the client creates through their Raise Mobile account on their mobile phone and get engaged. And then the beauty of it too is at the end of the donation process, that supporter can say, hey, I support, you know, Save the Kittens. You should too.
Save the Kittens. You should too. That's the message coming from Central Standard and from our guest, Dale Knoop. He is the founder of Raise Mobile. We have Billy on air. Welcome to Central Standard.
Yes, I do not want to be so negative. Use your cell phones, but do not use them during a church service or during a performance. I tuned in right at the end of the other section, and I am appalled that people pull out their phones during a performance that I've paid up to $50 or more, and suddenly I've got these phones flashing up where they're taking pictures, or I heard them say get the biographies of a musician or something during a performance. I mean, you go to a live performance, enjoy it. You go to a church service to worship God and keep your phones in your pocket or in your bags. At a recent church service, the new young assistant pastor pulled out his iPod or whatever to read scriptures, and suddenly he and his wife and others around there, suddenly these green glows are flashing up all over in front of you, and it's very distracting, and it's not for the purpose of the service or a live performance. So
thank you, Billy, very much for giving us your information. This is a very, very, very interesting point that Billy makes, and this is the sort of the premise of our whole show. On our first segment, we had someone who created an app for live concert venues. Now we have you whose inspiration for your Raise Mobile business, raising money over a mobile platform, comes from a church service. And now we have Billy, who's, you know, obviously part of another generation, but makes an interesting point. Why do people want to pull their phones out in traditionally areas where you don't want to pull your phones out, or yeah, that you didn't pull your phones out, or that there were no phones to pull out?
Right. We're a platform that causes can use. If the cause says to take your cell phone out during the service, we're not telling them to do that. Obviously, when I go to church, I leave my phone in the car because I don't want to be distracted. And Billy's right there. I'm there to worship God. But there again, you have to look at it from the other perspective of these causes are hurting. We met with a cause here in Kansas City who's very close to this building. I won't name any names. But the lady that I met with said the grant that we got from the state of Missouri was $30,000 last year, and the grant that I got this year was $3,000. So we at Raise Mobile think about the people that are at the end of the transaction, and those are the people that are in need. And if these are the tactics that the causes think that they need to deploy in order to get the money that they need to help those in need, then that's their call. We're just there to help them, you know, support it from a mobile perspective. So we're just really just a platform. We're not out there advocating certain tactics.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to gauge your opinion on what your advice would be for, say, I don't know, a well-respected nonprofit radio station looking for a new way to handle, let's call it for the sake of this example, pledge donations. You know, how would you roll out a campaign for an organization that rhymes with Mublik Madio?
I think I could imagine who you're talking about. And my advocacy to them would be to create a mobile presence and begin to share it with their supporters and grow your base of supporters over time so that they are there on a consistent basis. I know this organization that you speak of may have a fall fundraiser and they may have a spring fundraiser. Wouldn't it be great if the spring fundraiser rolled around and you had 10,000 people opted into your mobile SMS list so that you could say, I know you're not around a phone to make a call in for a donation, or you're not near a piece of paper or a pen or a checkbook. We've even run into people that don't know how to write checks. So you would be able to send out this institution, whoever it might be, would be able to send out a text message that says, please give to our fall campaign, click here. And that would take them to the Raise Mobile site. You would see a big green donate button on every page. If you've already made a Raise Mobile donation to any cause using Raise Mobile, that donation to that cause is 20 seconds away. And as soon as that donation is made, the donor gets a receipt in their inbox via email that says, keep this for your tax records. The cause gets 100% of their donation. And then if I want to, I can say, hey, I support Mublik Madio. You should too.
Good advice for our listeners, good advice for our staff here, because coincidentally, people who support Mublik Madio also support public radio. So that's a good route to go.
I think that's an amazing coincidence.
It is an amazing coincidence. What are you doing now to expand Raise Mobile?
We've been in market for about 7 weeks, and we are in the process of raising funding. We are in the process of amplifying. We like to call it the megaphone that we operate through from a marketing perspective. The great part about it is that the message that we are putting into the marketplace has been well received. The platform has been very, very well received too, as far as ease of use. We like to say that it's easier than using Facebook. So getting up and getting started has been something that we were very concerned about from a user experience perspective coming out of Sprint and having built other products. It was something that we applied a lot of expertise to. So it's really just expanding what we do.
Speaking of coming out of Sprint and having built other products in networking and gotten other patents in mobile technology, talk about a little bit about your history in mobile networking and networking in general. And then the piece de resistance. Talk about your Emmy.
My background in mobile goes all the way back to 2000 before there were any data services. I was in a group that was – I forget what it was called at the time, but – this was before there were data connections on cell phones, and I was responsible for
2000.
Yeah.
Was Moses on your team?
We used to have to fight the brontosaurs on the way into the Sprint campus. over the course of time, I became known as the TV guy, and in November of 2003, we were the first carrier to roll out live TV on cell phones through Mobi TV. We quickly built that up into what we termed at the time was the 10th largest cable operator in the United States. The following year, we rolled out Sprint TV, which was more of a native application on the phone, leveraging something that Qualcomm put in the phones. And then in 2005, I got a phone call from someone who said, you've been selected as an Emmy winner. And I go, who is this? And I handed it over to the PR person. I said, you need to check this out. And I got a phone call about half an hour later back saying, yeah, you won an Emmy. And I go, for real? And they go, yeah, you have to go to California and accept the award. So I went to one of those shows where they say, at a show held earlier.
Right.
Stood backstage with a bunch of actors and felt really out of place as a
Kansas
City
telecom. What did you win an Emmy for?
Delivering live TV to cell phones.
Oh, wow. Wow. So yeah. They have a technical
audio
video portion of that.
Yeah.
Those steals where you're like sitting there smiling, but it's a steel picture and not a live feed.
They'll go, here's some slides of a ceremony held earlier.
But Emmy winner, that's a good thing to carry around with you.
It was an amazing experience.
Rob from North KC, we're talking about tech innovation, mobile apps, and whether or not to listen to Billy, who says, put your phones away in church and at the concerts.
Well, Billy has kind of a point. What I would say is that you were talking earlier about making Kansas City being such a hub for innovation, and I want to take a little issue with that because I think what we don't tend to look at is that here in the Midwest, we look at innovation differently than they do on the coast. On the East and West Coast, they fund ideas, whereas here in the Midwest, with our show-me state attitude, we tend to want to know where the money's going to come profit-wise, what's the business plan behind it. So I think we don't want to necessarily pat ourselves on the back completely and say that we are going to be this mecca of whether it's mobile or digital or whatever, because the reality is we still have a mindset where we want to see the end before the beginning even starts.
Thank you, Rob. Address that real quick because we got to get out of here. Dale?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of companies on either coast that are more concerned about building traffic than revenue models. And we built a revenue model into Raise Mobile from the get-go. And we'll be able to scale the business. And if our clients do well, we do well.
Well, this is a continuing conversation in our ongoing series here on Central Standard called Appy Hour. And we've been talking mobile app development with Dale Knoop. And we also had Stephen Rivera, CEO of the live music venue app Amped. And Billy, who says, when you're in church and when you're at a concert, put your mobile phones away. So this is an ongoing conversation here on Central Standard. Speaking of an ongoing conversation, Launch KC aims to attract IT startups. And KC Currents will be doing a piece on Launch KC. So you might want to check that out. KC Currents Sundays and Mondays. And tune in tomorrow when we honor a dearly departed local writer, Tom Ryan. That plus a look at the College of Tomorrow. Our show is produced by Tamika Weatherspoon. Up to Date is next with Jeffrey Toobin, author of The Oath, The Obama White House, and The Supreme Court. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.